it was unknown substances sprayed into my throat, electric shock to different parts of your body. Even when I told them, okay, I am not going to write anything after all.
Lately, I don't see much of the daylight. It's wonder before I rise out of bed.
Why do some people get their faces slapped while others have the aces fall into their lap?
Everybody wants to wake up in the morning and know this is the day that it changes all.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Europe dumps an unjust justice nominee. Truth was torture for a bi Uzbek journalist. And funky folk, silly rock, and lo-fi high-tech from the audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending October 30th, 2004. Within an hour of the European Parliament's scheduled confirmation vote for the European Commission this week, the incoming Commission President withdrew his slate from consideration rather than see it rejected for proposing an anti-gay nominee to head human rights enforcement. Up until then, incoming EC President José Barroso had staunchly defended his justice assignment for Italy's nominee to the commission, Rocco Buttiglione. But ultimately, Barroso had to accept that the parliament would in fact take the unprecedented step of rejecting the entire 25-member slate for the EU's executive branch. The parliament does not have the option to act on individual commission nominees. Members cheered and applauded Barroso's surrender, though it came in the form of a blandly worded statement that he needed more time. Barroso's delay forces an unprecedented violation of the European Union's strict November 1st start date for new commissioners' five-year terms and leaves the current commission and its president, Roman Prodi, to extend their services for at least another month. The earliest possible date for another EP vote is November 15th.
The historic power struggle cast a pall over what should have been a great celebration for Europe this week, the signing of a new constitutional treaty that begins its two-year process of ratification. It became an occasion for Barroso to hold urgent private talks with the heads of EU member nations, who each nominate one prospective Commission member. The signing ceremony was held in Rome, putting even more of a spotlight on Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi and his choice of Buttiglione. The following day, Buttiglione announced, "I am ready to step aside to favor the path of the Barroso Commission, which I wish every success." He's expected to continue in his current role as Italy's Minister for European Affairs, while Berlusconi has indicated he'll select another member of the Italian cabinet to serve on the EC.
But remarks at the signing by other EU member nations' heads of state suggest that simply replacing Buttiglione may not be enough to satisfy the EP, with perhaps as many as four other Commission nominees needing to be reassigned or replaced as well. For now, the European chapter of ILGA, the International Lesbian and Gay Association, welcomed the EP's tough stand against a key human rights role for a man who believes homosexual acts are sinful and sought to remove sexual orientation as a category protected from discrimination in EU law. ILGA Europe applauded the EP for restating its commitment to human rights as a core value and confirming that the rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people are an integral part of human rights in the EU.
Buttiglione became the first EC nominee ever to fail a vetting by an EP committee, in part because of his narrow views of the nature of marriage, an issue that continues to make headlines around the world. This week, the Honduras Congress unanimously approved a proposed amendment to the national constitution to deny both marriage and adoptions to same-gender couples. The proposed amendment still requires a second congressional ratification after the next election, a vote which can't come sooner than the new year. The amendment proposed by the ruling National Party states that only matrimony between a man and a woman is valid. One opposition Congress member said passage was spurred by Honduras' recent legal recognition of three lesbi-gay organizations.
But also this week, Germany's parliament, the Bundestag, approved a government bill to expand the legal status of gay and lesbian registered partnerships. The upgrade for the three-year-old life partnerships includes provisions for more secure pension rights, for division of property, and support payments following dissolution, for co-adoption by one partner of the other's biological children, and for couples planning to contract partnerships to first become formally engaged, a status which includes such privileges as immunity from testifying against a partner in court. While Germany's upper house, the Bundesrat, could act to stall the bill's enactment, it can't actually stop it, and it's expected to become effective January 1st. Conservative parties, which have more power in the upper house than the lower, are most vocally opposed to the adoption provision.
Australia could soon be banning adoptions by gay and lesbian couples, even those established legally in other countries. As the counting of votes from the early October national elections continues, it became official this week that the current coalition government has won a majority of seats in the Senate as well as in the House. Earlier this year, the government was able to enact its law restricting marriage to one man and one woman only after winning the support of the opposition Australian Labor Party by dropping an adoptions ban. But once the new legislature is seated in July, the government will be able to proceed unchecked, and a spokesperson confirmed this week that the adoptions ban is among some 10 proposals previously blocked in the Senate that's slated for reintroduction.
It's also now final that openly gay Australian Democrat Brian Gregg has lost his seat as senator from West Australia. While his fierce voice for equality has been eliminated from the Senate, Labor has given a megaphone to openly lesbian senator from South Australia, Penny Wong. The ALP announced its shadow cabinet this week, with Wong as its senior spokesperson on employment issues. This makes Wong the first open lesbian or gay ever to serve on a party's front bench in the national legislature.
In the U.S. national elections campaign this week, President George W. Bush publicly disagreed with his Republican Party's platform on legal recognition of same-gender couples. This year's platform goes farther than any of its predecessors in opposing not only equal marriage rights, but all forms of legal recognition, such as civil unions and domestic partnerships. But Bush said on a national TV talk show, "I don't think we should deny people rights to a civil union, a legal arrangement, if that's what a state chooses to do." He distinguished between marriage, which he still wishes to reserve for heterosexual couples by means of a national constitutional amendment, and what he called legal arrangements that enable people to have rights. He declared that states ought to be able to have the right to pass laws that enable people to have rights like others. This essentially puts him in the same position as his Vice President Dick Cheney, whose similar statements had previously been viewed as a public split from the president's position. Bush even indicated that he might support some federal benefits for same-gender couples, all of which are currently prohibited by the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act. Bush's remarks are widely viewed as an effort to attract undecided voters who may have viewed as bigotry his advocacy against marriage equality. They certainly did not impress lesbi-gay advocacy groups, which saw them as cynical. And they drew vocal objections from some of Bush's leading conservative supporters. Both religious right groups and the Republican National Committee have been using marriage equality as a scare tactic in campaigning for the president and some other candidates in a number of states.
And finally, the first television channel in France to target the lesbi-gay audience made its debut this week. It's believed to be the world's third such channel, following Canada's Pride Vision and Italy's Gay TV, while the long-awaited U.S. Logo channel is expected to launch in March. France's Pink TV is a subscription cable and satellite channel supported by the nation's three main commercial networks. Pink TV has received generous print media coverage, but has not yet attracted a major corporate sponsor, though advertising is planned to meet one-fifth of its expenses in 2 years. The programming covers a broad range of material, including documentaries, a daily cultural report, sports reporting by a trans woman, 4 erotic films late night on weekends, and English language shows with French subtitles from Queer as Folk to daily episodes of the campy 1970s U.S. series Wonder Woman. Pink TV's first words took off from Neil Armstrong's as he first set foot on the moon. A giant leap for television A small step in high heels.
That's NewsWrap for the week ending October 30th, 2004. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
If you don't want to be late for the musical revival, you'd better race the light down the road to bliss. But not before you hear this exclusive interview of international significance. The former Soviet Republic of Uzbekistan is located in the heart of Central Asia and is a key ally of the U.S. in its so-called War on Terror. But Uzbekistan's authoritarian government has drawn repeated criticism for its human rights record. One case in particular has shed light on the government's repressive ways, that of a 26-year-old bisexual journalist and human rights activist. Just a few weeks ago, Ruslan Sharipov was granted asylum in the United States after being forced to flee Uzbekistan, where he was tortured and imprisoned on what he and numerous human rights groups around the world say were trumped-up sex charges. He's made his new home in Sacramento, California, where This Way Out's Brian Goebel sat down with the maverick journalist for his first U.S. interview since getting asylum.
Ruslan Sharipov's crusade as a journalist and human rights activist began in 1999. As a gifted student, he was given a grant to study in the U.S. under a program founded by the president of Uzbekistan, Islam Karimov.
I was sent to USA, University of Georgia, to continue my education in the field of journalism. I was studying there for 1 year, and I became editor-in-chief of a university newspaper. We opened a Central Asian organization there, so I liked my studies there. I liked the freedom there is in USA, democracy, and what I saw here, I was totally shocked how people can live absolutely free.
It was when Sharipov wanted to stay longer in the U.S. that Uzbek authorities began to scrutinize his journalism and activism. He was ordered back to Uzbekistan, where the government began questioning his activities.
This president program requested them that I have to get back for medical commission. But it wasn't true. They requested me to come back and told, why you were making so many activities in University of Georgia, you don't know Uzbek language. They were looking for any excuse, and at the end of commission they told me that I am not longer the student of this program.
Sharipov says it was during this time that he realized just how corrupt the government is. Despite the fact that there is no free press in Uzbekistan, he was determined to carry on with his work.
I decided that for this time, while I was going to find truth, I saw how injustice, how what kind of system there is inside of these organizations, government organizations, and I decided to continue my activities in the field of journalism and human rights independent. I met very famous human rights defenders as Talib Yakubov, and other famous journalists, and I began my independent activities. Already in 2000 or in 2001, I guess, I was invited by Russian human rights agency Prima, for which I was writing my articles for several years. And also we organized with my colleagues Human Rights Society of Uzbekistan Civil Support and Union of Independent Journalists of Uzbekistan.
Sharipov wrote hundreds of articles about the government and its human rights violations against journalists and political and religious opponents. The government of Uzbekistan is fiercely secular, but the country is mostly Muslim, and anyone appearing too religious is considered a threat. The same is true for journalists. Despite this danger, Sharipov posted articles on the internet and on the website of Prima. He also sent copies to the government, and this, he says, is what got him and his colleagues into trouble. The government was furious.
What was different in my case from others, I knew English language a little. I constantly was writing to international organizations. I was in constant contact with them, and there was much attention around me from embassies, international organizations. This was preventing Uzbek government from imprisoning me before.
But in 2003, after being attacked and continually harassed, Uzbek authorities trumped up charges against Sharipov, who identifies himself as bisexual. The charges alleged he was having sex with minors, which he denies. Homosexuality is banned in Uzbekistan, and the laws against it are enforced in unusual and profitable ways.
Uzbek militia find very rich person, businessman, who is practicing non-traditional orientation and putting specially their own people who is also of this orientation, and then unexpectedly coming into this house where it's happening and videotaping it or taking pictures, and then they tell him, we will send these pictures or video to your work, we show it to your family. This way, militia now, until there will be this article 120, which prohibit this kind of relations, they will be continuously doing it. And the worst is that Uzbek militia now find it as the main source of income. It's like business. So you see, I wrote about hundreds of such cases.
The government used its law against gay sex to punish him for his writings and activism. Despite appeals from numerous human rights organizations, Sharipov was convicted and given 5.5 years in prison, where he was repeatedly tortured and forced to sign a suicide note.
There were many other different tortures they made to me. For example, it was unknown substances which was, sprayed into my throat. It was also unknown substance which were injected into my vein. It was gas mask put on my head. They began immediately put electric shock to different parts of your body, ears and other parts. And they were doing all these procedures to me, even when I told them that, okay, I am not going to write anything after all.
It was hard to silence Sharipov, even in prison, where he wrote letters appealing to President Bush in the U.S. and U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan. In his letter to Bush, he wrote, "By conducting a disguised policy of terror against its own citizens, official Uzbekistan is now openly denying the right for freedom and life, the right to be protected against denigration of honor and dignity, the right for freedom of thought, speech, and conviction, freedom of worship, the right to be protected against torture, violence, and other brutal treatment that humiliates people's honor and dignity." Faced with increasing pressure, his sentence was finally reduced. He was eventually assigned to 3 years of hard labor in his hometown of Bukhara. He never made it there, though. Instead, he was forced to flee to Moscow and eventually the U.S. because of death threats.
I was told if I go to Tashkent, I will be either killed there or I will be returned to colony, which is in Tavaksay, so it's to prison. And by saying this, I already understood that there is no other chance, and it will be impossible for me to continue my work, so I had to leave.
When I went to visit Sharipov at his new home in Sacramento, he had a slight cough and was worried about his health. During his time in prison, Sharipov says he was injected with 2 strains of hepatitis. At one point, they threatened to inject him with HIV.
I don't even know what else can... I'm going to have a medical appointment here in Sacramento, and I hope here at least I will be feeling better when I find out that there is nothing else, no other infection, or what my medical results are.
Sharipov says Uzbekistan is still holding between 6,000 and 8,000 political prisoners. He believes the U.S. must play a key role toward ending the persecution.
I think U.S. doesn't put enough pressure on Uzbekistan because using their power and their influence which they have in Uzbekistan, because Uzbekistan listened most to U.S., they could do much more. In no way Uzbek government should be given by USA, by other countries, any money, because this money will be spent in their own purposes and against Uzbek people. Until such situation will be going on, it was already in last years, they were stopping their help and then again began giving them money. You see, there should be complete stop until Uzbek government will finally begin to follow human rights, at least basic human rights. There are no rights which Uzbek citizens have at all.
For now, Sharipov says he plans to continue writing and calling attention to the situation in Uzbekistan. During his ordeal, he was awarded the Golden Pen of Freedom Award by the World Association of Newspapers. For This Way Out, I'm Brian Goebel in Sacramento.
Hi, I'm Amanda Burst, Marcy Darcy from Married with Children, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. Stay tuned.
With a queer ear for music from a debut artist and new releases by two veteran performers, here's the latest offering from The Audiophile.
Christopher Dolman's debut album is titled Race the Light. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. Christopher's album combines introspective lyrics, a distinctive voice, and exquisite production.
Lately, I don't see much of the daylight. It's wonder before I rise out of bed. I drink my coffee at twilight at the kitchen table Wi-Fi. This ache that last night left in my head. Last night I was weightless. Last night was a dance.
I would describe my CD as a journey, hopefully, and the musical style, I guess, is folk rock, folk pop. Some people have called it transcendent folk pop, some people have called it heartbroken folk funk. I don't know, like everyone, I guess, would like think it defies categorization.
He looks just like Disneyland. He moves just like palm trees, whoa. He's got diamonds in his hand. He's got scrapes on both of his knees. He's eager to please. He is your big secret. He's got me rooting through your trunk wall. Oh, is he the reason for this life jacket? Is he the reason that this ship sunk?
Find out more about the album Race the Light by Christopher Dolman at www.christopherdolman.com. That's www.christopherdolman.com.
The latest release by the Kathy Richardson Band is called The Road to Bliss, and it delights us in two different ways.
It was nominated for a Grammy for Best Recording Package, which is stunning. But so is the music inside, which grabs you and won't let go.
Everything I am is 'cause of this town. I always thought this is where I belong. I figured out what you're all about. I'm only sorry it stayed so long. And everything I know I learned in this town. That's how I know it's a cruel, cruel world. But she won't have me to kick around. I guess there's always another girl.
I'm a person who doesn't take themselves too seriously. I'm very serious about my music and my career and my art, but I approach life with a healthy dose of humor and lightheartedness and playfulness and silliness. And I like to rock. I like to rock! Okay, I just totally blew up the mic on that.
You can learn more about the album Road to Bliss by the Kathy Richardson Band at www.crband.com.
Can you imagine hummable folk pop, insightful lyrics, impeccable production, and a vocal intensity that's unique?
It all fits together on the latest album by Daniel Cartier called Revival.
Baby, baby, I want you to come. Run with me in moonlight. I bet we could have some fun. I bet we could. Don't you think we should?
If somebody hasn't heard my CD, Revival, I'd probably describe it as lo-fi arena rock being done by some gay guy in his bedroom. Actually, it's like a little singer-songwriter, a little electronic, a little acoustic, a little high-tech, but it's all being done in my bedroom in my studio, so yeah.
Everybody wants to be loved by somebody. Everybody wants to be someone's call. Everybody wants to wake up in the morning and know this is the day that it changes it all. Everybody wants to be loved by somebody. Everybody's wanting to feel that need. Baby, swear I just want to love somebody.
Find out more about the album Revival by Daniel Cartier at www.danielcartier.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson, reminding you to celebrate the new year on This Way Out with our annual Audiophile Year in Review, coming soon to an audio channel near you. Keep listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, Brian Goble, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through tax-deductible charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Only our listeners can keep this program on the air and get some queer history, music, and culture on specially produced CDs. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on KUNR Reno, Nevada, WRSU New Brunswick, New Jersey, CFRU Guelph, Ontario, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.